Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. So we were talking Knicks with the guys, with Pietro and Rothenberg just now on 98.7 in New York. Jay, but I want to talk with you and Key about Mel Kiper's mock draft, and especially how it relates to my beloved New York Football Giants. And Evan, our producer, is a big Jets fan.
Does that mean offensive lineman for the Giants? Is that what we're alluding
you
to?
You are damn right. So Mel's mock draft, Key, has Aiden Hutchinson of Michigan and Kayvon Thibodeau of Oregon. There's a lot of the year, everyone assumed Thibodeau would be the number one guy, but okay. Off the board first and second. And Evan Neal, the tackle from Alabama, is third, so he wouldn't be there for the Giants. Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame, and then the Giants pick fifth with, and I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Don't try.
Tyke McQuanu. McQuanu is what it is. McQuanu.
North Carolina State tackle.
McQuanu.
Yeah. He's Akeem Okwana. I think that's
Equanu,
how you say it.
McQuanu, I think.
McQuanu or something like that. I don't know.
Akeem? Yeah.
That's why I said, let me not try to say it.
Yeah,
just leave it alone.
Leave it.
But I did anyway, though.
Yeah, I was like, you just tried to say it.
Know something, guys? The Giants have two firsts, and they got a second. And if I'm the Giants, there's always an exception to the rule. If there's some superstar player at a position you don't have a need for, but he's clearly special, take him. Figure it out later, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, Micah Parsons, grab Micah Parsons, figure it out later, right? But in the absence of a guy like that where you are, no doubt this dude's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I'm the Giants. I'm taking an offensive lineman with my first pick in the first round, the fifth pick. I'm taking an offensive lineman with a seventh pick. I'm using my second rounder on an offense. I want to build the biggest, best, and deepest offensive line in the NFL for my team. Instead of Key squinting and looking, wait, is Pickett going to be a good call? Maybe he's good enough. I'm not worried about anything else. I want to start building the team, and I would do it with the offensive line.
No, you should. And I think that if you're the Giants that look to need offensive help, because one way or another, you're going to address the quarterback issue, whether you trade for a superstar quarterback or you bring in another quarterback to compete with Daniel Jones, but you need to give them the opportunity. So addressing the offensive line would be big. If they decide to go with the NC State guy, if not, there's a much easier name in Charles Cross of Mississippi State offensive tackle that they could take a look at as well.
I would hope that Evan Neal would drop. I know that Mel has him number three to Houston right now, but if he would drop and you get him and the player from NC State's O-line, these are things.
Player.
What'd you say? Yeah. See, I ain't going to say it. Y'all ain't going to trick me. Y'all ain't going to have me
Equanu,
out here. Corporate Jay trying to do it. Equanu, yes. If you were to get those two pieces, then that makes me think about, all right, we always talk about Saquon Barkley. And Max, we talk about this, right? Kind of like bouncing to the outside, like not running through the tackles. You start getting individuals like this, you get a chance to see another side of Saquon Barkley, and it adds a different element to your play action. And all of a sudden, even if Daniel Jones isn't the guy, you're like, all right, it just gives you a different multitude of weapons and confidence.
And I don't care if Andrew Thomas, he's working out at left tackle. Great. If the best guy's another, I'll take three left tackles on my team. I'll play one at right tackle, and I'll figure out which guard position to play the other. I want an absurd overemphasis, embarrassment of riches on the offensive line. Because, guys, Cowboys built their O-line. The Giants have devoted resources
their
O-line, but Key
didn't play that well last game.
But that's because it's been a while. That's my point. Key,
some of their O-line is older.
No doubt. But that's my point. They have tried, let me see if this third-round pick can buttress the line. But years back, when they first built it, 4 out of 5 years they used their first-round pick on an O-lineman. Four out of five.
Yeah, but they also hit. They also hit pay dirt. They was able to get Lyle Collins in a steal because an unfortunate situation happened right before the draft out of LSU. Then he wind up becoming undrafted because everybody took him off the board. They signed him to a massive free agent deal, and then it worked out. And then when you think about the future Hall of Famer in Smith, the left tackle, and then so you got Zach Martin. You got different pieces that's there. You can build an offensive line through the first round. The Cowboys just historically has always done a tremendous job dating all the way back to Jimmy Johnson, or even before that with Tom Landry, about getting certain offensive linemen to flourish within the Dallas Cowboys system.
That was the Troy Aikman years and the Emmitt Smith years. Maybe the greatest offensive line of all time. It's like in the conversation. What do you think of Ojabo, the linebacker from Michigan, Key? Do you have an opinion formed of him in terms of how high the potential is?
I think he's a good fit for the Giants in that position. I think he falls somewhere in that 7 to 15 range at the linebacker spot. I watched him play. He moves around well. He's a sort of not as big as you would like at the linebacker position, but a lot of NFL teams don't use huge linebackers anymore because they got to be able to cover, beat three down guys on third down. They got to be able to cover down if need be. I like him. I mean, I like him. I don't dislike him.
Yeah, I mean, like, good. That to me, listening to you and the level of enthusiasm in your voice, don't want him. Like, if you have a guy, if Key's there going, Ojabo's going to go to the Hall of Fame if he stays healthy, bet. Then let's skip an offensive lineman. Otherwise, buttress the line. What about the Jets, Key? When you look at the Jets, Mel has Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame, going fourth to the Jets. And then at 10, Drake London, the SC wideout. Where are you with those guys?
Well, remember, Mel's mock draft is 1.0. This thing will change 30 times by the time draft day come up before he finally hits on all his targets that he's targeting. When you look at Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame, a little bit of an injury, a little injury prone, big rangy dude, though. He can go from sideline to sideline with the best of them. I think he runs at about 6'3", probably 200 pounds or so. So he's a big safety, but a lot of injuries. He missed most of, if not half, the season, I would say. This year he opted out, didn't play in the Fiesta Bowl. I think he got hurt against USC, but he's also been hurt in the past. Then when you look at the Jets, where are they picking again?
So 4 and 10.
4 and 10.
They got that Jamal Adams pick plus their own pick.
And at 10, they're saying what?
They're saying Drake London.
Oh, so Drake London is the receiver from USC.
Yeah, first receiver off the board, by the way.
What a dope. I like name. Him. He's an ex-basketball player, Jay. Nice vertical leaping ability. He's physical. Not the fastest guy, not as twitchy as you would like, but I also can understand that he is a basketball player, so it's going to take time to get into a football mode. But, I think taking him in the 10 is a little high for my money. He's coming off a severe ankle injury as well, but I think he is one of the top five receivers in this year's draft.
Key, they hit last year with Elijah Moore. He's more of a 5'10", a speedster kind of speed threat. But do you see them utilizing, if they were to go with a guy like Drake London, due to the fact that he's 6'5", 210 pounds, that he could be that – he could win those jump balls. He could be that key red zone target for Zach Wilson?
Oh, absolutely. He'll be a big red zone target. Yeah. That's the reason you draft him, is because you believe he can move the chains. He's a big third down possession type receiver for you. He could do things that you hadn't seen in a Jet uniform since the guy number 19 wore it. But anyway, that's a whole nother situation. And when you look at it, he's a good pick for him. I just don't know if 10 is a little high, but Mel could certainly – explain that when he joins us.
Who do you think should be the first wideout off the board, Key?
Receiver position is dicey. It depends on what you're looking for, right, in that position. It's like anything when you're drafting. Are you looking for a smaller, quicker, twitchy guy like a Chris Olave out of Ohio State? Or are you looking for a home run hitter, an all-out baller like Jameson Williams out of Alabama? Or are you saying to yourself, Garrett Wilson gives me what I'm looking for out of Ohio State. So it all just depends on what you're looking for in that particular position.
I got to say, to me, the Jets are in the same boat as the Giants in the sense that if there is a slam dunk wideout where it's like, ooh, give Zach Wilson, okay, I get it. Like, Jamar Chase for Joe Burrow, okay. In the absence of that, Vera Tucker's good. Becton, when he gets back, is real good.
Really good.
I'm looking to protect. Zach Wilson has another 2 years of runway for me, right? This is his rookie year. In the old day, he started. I mean, I'm not expecting anything yet. I would go protect him. Like, go again. Fortify. Now, again, if you have a wide out that can grow with him, go get him. If you believe that Kyle Hamilton, because I could hear the enthusiasm in your voice about him, Key, is a difference maker, okay. But if you can't identify, no, this cat is just different than the others, go protect your quarterback because he's a puppy
but
and
I'm
has some runway.
If I'm taking a safety at four, though, I bet he better be Sean Taylor.
Right. He got to make the hole.
Yeah. Oh, he got to be Sean Taylor. He better be Sean Taylor, Ronnie Lott, Darren Woodson. Like, that's what he got to be for me if I'm taking a safety at four.
And even Jamal Adams, who had a very high floor. Well, you know, the Jets dealt him, and it was good that they dealt him. They got a couple of firsts.
Smart business moves by Jamal and the Jets. He got his money, and he got to get out of hell, and the Jets got their picks.
Okay, Key, you just said it depends what you're looking for. But you do this with quarterback buckets, too. I want an order from you.
Well, because here's why, though, and I almost called you Evan.
It's Zubin.
Zubin, stop. Here's why, though, Max.
Yep.
It's because Chris Olave and me are not the same. We play the same position, but we are not the same player.
But nevertheless, you're right, and I get it. Just like Kyler Murray is very different from Mac Jones or something. But
they play the same position.
But
I can almost guarantee you to a fault. Bill Belichick ain't taking no damn Kyler Murray.
So I understand it's very – you're like, look, these values are not absolute. They're based on circumstance. It's like saying, would you rather have a dollar or a pound or a euro? You're like, well, I need to check the market to see how that's being valued right now. Okay, so what I'm saying, though, is key. Right now for you, there's a board with receivers. You don't have anyone on your team. You are starting your team with this pick, and it must be a receiver. Which one are you taking first out of this class? Mm. It sounded to me like Jameson Williams, but you tell me.
I would take Drake London out of this class first because I can do more with Drake London. I can put his hand in the ground. I can put him in the slot, mismatches up on linebackers and strong safeties. If they decide to put a corner, we can run the ball. He'll block the hell out of him. I can line him outside on a 3-by-1, put him on the backside, let him be my X. Let him run hitches and slants and quick outs and comebacks, skinny posts. That'll be my guy over there. When I get into the red zone, I can move him around and do different things with him. I like that a lot more. But then also at the same time, I like Jameson Williams as well. I'm not all on Chris Olave. I mean, he's, you know. Cause,
how about Garrett Wilson, Key?
He's okay. I mean, it's fine. I think they're all
side,
fine.
Is he 6 feet?
No. 6 feet is big for a receiver in the NFL. That's considered a big receiver, man. Hmm.
What?
Yeah, that's considered a bigger receiver.
What? No, it's not. A 6 foot receiver is not a bigger receiver.
I mean, Odell seems small. What's Odell?
So now you getting ready to tell a dude that played the position.
I'm getting ready to tell a big receiver who is 6 foot four and change.
No, I'm a giant.
Look, but
they're big though. That's a big receiver, man.
I would say you could argue Jameson Williams is 6'2". It's a big receiver. Yeah. Drake London, 6'5". That's a big receiver.
That's a giant receiver.
Okay, fine. That's a giant receiver. Those are giants. I would say 6 feet is not a big receiver. I would
Odell Odell Beckham is a big receiver, man. Odell Beckham is not little.
Odell is like what, 6'1.5", 6'2"?
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a big receiver.
No,
either.
He ain't 6'2".
He's a middle sized
receiver. He's probably 6'1".
Yeah, 6 feet tall. You think of him like
that's
six.
That's a man. That's a big receiver. What do you think of so what would you consider a big corner?
Well, corners are smaller than receivers. A 6 foot corner is different than a 6 foot receiver.
No, it's not.
Wait.
No.
Key, corners are generally shorter than receivers.
If you got a corner that's 6 foot, man, that's a big receiver. I mean, a big corner.
Okay, you could argue that, I think. Yeah.
That's a big corner. And if you got a receiver that is – you think Stephon Diggs is small?
What's Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs is 6 feet.
Really? I think of him as taller than that. But, yeah, I wouldn't say 6 feet is a small receiver, but I wouldn't say it's big.
Yeah, he's 6 feet tall.
6 feet. No, I'm not.
Hey, Jay. I can't mess around.
I ask you, Key. I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
Crazy.
So, Jay, you'd be a very big receiver.
I'm a big receiver.
That
makes me feel good.
He would be a big receiver that wouldn't go across the middle.
Definitely not going across the middle. Hey,
wouldn't be no good. See? Wouldn't be no good to me.
On my tippy toes, I would be a big receiver. Hey, Jay, on my tippy toes, I'd be a big receiver. I just got to stand on my toes.
I don't want to die.
I wouldn't even want you on my team, Jay. You don't go across the middle.
That's fine. Sorry to tell you. That's why I play the other sport, Key.
Well, I got news. Jay would be throwing you the ball. Jay was a point guard. He'd be a quarterback. Mel Kiper.
I don't want a quarterback.
I got a rifle, Key, though.
The only thing about Jay is quarterback,
I got to be able to see the ball come out.
Key, the only thing about Jay as quarterback is don't ask him if you're going to win a playoff game.
Oh, my God.
Don't ask him.
Well, I just want to continue to play hard for my team.
Hey, look, I just took the key book of how to actually talk to the media. I've studied the manual, all 1,000 pages. Yep. And I just want to be out here. I want to be the best I can be. And I just want to win.
Quarterback. Mel Kiper is going to join us at 9:10 a.m. And the first quarterback off the board is not until 11 overall. No top 10 quarterbacks, according to Mel at the moment. Although it's funny how these things have a way of changing as draft approaches. Quarterbacks start to rise, right? Malik Willis.
Well, everybody does.
Liberty is the first quarterback selected in Mel's mock draft. 1.0, as Key said. This is 1.0. It'd be a lot, like, more information comes out. There are going to be a lot of changes. Well, what kind of information? Like, who's going to be the GM of a given team, right? There are open GM jobs and coaching jobs and stuff, and that will all affect who these teams select. Is there any quarterback in the draft, Key, that you feel, you know, you look at this guy and you go, people might be missing on this. This guy has some upside.
You know, it's not a strong quarterback draft. You got to draft somebody. Malik Willis is an interesting guy out of Liberty. I watched him play against Ole Miss. I only seen a handful of his games this year and last year. And I didn't walk away overly impressed. He's got a lot of athletic ability, but he's still such a raw talent. So I'm not really gung-ho on that. Kenny Pickett out of Pitt, I've watched him play for several years. Solid guy that could turn into an NFL starter and be that guy that is a long-term starter in the NFL. Matt Correll, I know a lot about him out of Southern California, Westlake Village kid, originally committed to USC and decommitted and a whole bunch of other stuff. Texas, I think it was, before he finally landed at Ole Miss. The only thing about Matt that makes me scratch my head is Lane Kiffin has always done a tremendous job with coaching quarterbacks, and Steve Sarkisian as well. But when they get away from them and get to the NFL, those guys seem like they forgot how to play football. That's the only reservation that I would have with Matt Correll, because he is a tough, you know what, and he's one of those dudes that's there to play. He'll run the ball. He can throw. He can make all the throws. All that. Sam Howell, I'm not sold on. I saw him in North Carolina. I could say you could keep him. You know, it's one of those quarterbacks. You're like, oh man, you can keep him. I'm good. But those are the guys right there that you would look at teetering around the first round.
Yeah, it doesn't sound to me like the answer is going to be in the draft. Although, as everyone points to Tom Brady in the sixth round, and you can always find the gem and, you know, Dak in the fourth and Russell Wilson. And
hey, Max.
Yeah.
When did Tom Brady enter the league? I don't need an exact year from you, but
I'm so tired. At the beginning of this century. So in other words, it's almost like he came out of college at the end of the last century.
But wait, though.
We're in the third decade.
I'm so tired of hearing, you can always find a guy, you know, Tom Brady, the sixth round. Well, how come they ain't found no more sisters?
But
almost cursed right there.
Yeah, not in the sixth. You ain't gonna find it in the sixth. But look, I did point out a couple guys in the fourth.
No, not you. Just in general, you hear people always go back to the Tom Brady deal. Oh, Tom Brady went the sixth round, and they ain't found one since.
And also, that's called the exception that proves the rule. One dude, but you can in the fourth round. Let's say, in other words, quarterbacks can slip. But there's no one who jumps out in this class.
Well, Dak Prescott slipped to the I don't necessarily know that he slipped to the fourth round. I think he went where he was supposed to go, but the Cowboys found him in the fourth round, and he is now the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah, just about.
On average. Yeah.
Really? He gets more than Mahomes on average?
I think so. I think he's a tick above.
because you did his after Mahomes.
Oh, the Chiefs got a deal. Market,
yeah.
Yeah. So, look, I this is one another reason this draft that, number one, people are looking at the trade market. Will Aaron Rodgers be moved? Will Russell Wilson be moved? What's Derek Carr's future going to look like? And two, why I'm saying don't squint to try to see what you want to see. If there's no quarterback there and you have a need at quarterback, draft other positions. For me, it would be the O-line, and I would slide a young quarterback behind a great O-line when he presents himself, but when a guy like that shows up in the draft, right?
But that's what guys do in the league, though, that are in charge of drafting guys, Max, is they squint.
They
force themselves into taking somebody because they fall in love with that person because they've been watching them, and then they go, oh, I really like this guy. And they fall in love, even though you're telling them that dude can't play.
And you know what else?
It doesn't matter. Their minds are already made up.
His incentive is to think he could play, like, in the sense that there's an expression, it's hard to explain something to someone when their livelihood depends on not understanding it, right? Well, the corollary to that is, you know, it's hard to tell someone that this player isn't very good when their job is to go out and find a good player. We saw one stud quarterback traded last offseason, and it proved to be worth it in one game on Monday night. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This was a lack of composure for the Arizona Cardinals.
I thought David Long's touchdown to be able to put us up 21-0 was huge for us.
Bounces in the pocket, hit from behind, flips it forward. It is intercepted, a pick six, David Long Jr.
Matthew Stafford has his first playoff victory.
You know, what they did in the first half, I think they held him to 40 yards. You know, I think it was one of the best performances in playoff history in the first
half. Just proud to be a part of this team. Happy to get one, looking for more.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, and the divisional round is all set. Starts Saturday with the Bengals and Titans. Ooh, it's a good one. Different styles. Either one can win. Number one seed versus a guy in Joe Burrow we think can win Super Bowls. It concludes Sunday night with Chiefs, Bills. I love this one. Chiefs might play as well as they can, and the Bills may just be better than that. Or maybe they elevate the Chiefs' play, like where a rival elevates you past where you could, you know, originally were. In between, we got two great NFC matchups. Niners-Packers. Hear Dan Orlovsky talking about how the Niners, if you had to draw it up, that's the style to beat the Packers. Of course, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, so maybe not. And Rams-Bucks. That's another good one. Rams prove one thing Monday night against the Cardinals. Their acquisitions were worth it, at least so far. They went all in on Matthew Stafford. Two firsts and a third, and their former number one overall pick in the draft, who had been to two Pro Bowls and been to a Super Bowl with them, for Matt Stafford. And he only threw 17 passes, 13 of 17, for 202 passing yards, two passing touchdowns. Importantly, no interceptions. It's the fewest pass attempts in a win in his entire career. But Stafford was brought there to do the thing Keyshawn Johnson talks about. Sound and you know, be secure with the football and all that stuff. And here and there, when you need to make a play, have the talent to be able to make that play. That was Stafford. OBJ, didn't work out in New York because he didn't have a quarterback to throw him the ball. It was the end of Eli's career, no offensive line. Didn't work out in Cleveland, no rhythm, no chemistry with Baker Mayfield. So L.A. gets him on the cheap. Middle of the season, 4 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown, and he threw a 40-yard pass, Von Miller. That dude is a Super Bowl MVP who still has something in the tank. 6 tackles, 3 tackles for losses, a sack and a quarterback hit. Cam Akers, returning from a torn Achilles. He tore it in July. He's already back because he's made of adamantium or something. I don't know. 17 carries, 55 yards in his first game of the season. And Sony Michel, who they got after Akers went down in July, picked up Michel in August. 13 carries for 58 yards. Key, we talk a lot about on this show about reputation versus reality, right? How much of it is brand name and how much of it is still real. But there are degrees to that, right? Like Arizona picks up J.J. Watt and A.J. Green, and it's not like they can't play anymore, but they're a little more removed from their peak than a guy like Von Miller or Odell Beckham Jr. These guys still got it, don't they?
Yeah, I think so, Max. You know, when you pick up guys, you pick up players, sometimes you're picking up the name in the jersey of what it used to be. And Von Miller had an injury, he missed time a year ago. If Von Miller would have been healthy, he would have been able to continue to contribute at a very high level for the Denver Broncos. But Denver needed to move on because of money, and they weren't going anywhere, so it was best to remove Von. OBJ's situation is totally different because he could still play. He was just in a bad situation with a bad quarterback. Then when you start to look at guys like Sony Michel, the backfield in New England was loaded. His opportunities was elsewhere once Cam Akers got hurt for the Rams. And so when you look at J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt was at the end, man. J.J. Watt been at the end for several years, but we continue to keep pushing the J.J. Watt narrative because people like J.J. Watt.
Yeah, the thing about Von Miller, Key, is if you looked at his rates, right, like however much he was playing, his rate of getting to the quarterback was still at a very high level. And this is a dude that's won an MVP in the Super Bowl. Like, he plays big in big moments. It just occurs to me that the whatever you want to say about the Rams, whether it was a good gamble or a bad gamble to sacrifice all the draft picks because they already paid 2 firsts and a third for Stafford, then a second and a third for Von Miller, it's so far so good. Like, all the acquisitions are working.
But that's okay, Jay, to pay that for that. You're paying for the playoffs. Because we already feel like we're going to make the playoffs, but I'm paying for performances in the playoffs. I'm not paying him at this time in his career for regular season performance.
Key, I just find this whole thing funny with the Rams. It's like when these moves are being made by Les Snead and Sean McVay, everybody was like, oh, Von Miller, he's hurt. He hasn't really been playing. Or this team, you know, a lot of questions around their defense throughout the regular season. Is it the same? Down the stretch, it's like, well, Matthew Stafford, he's thrown, you know, 8 interceptions in his last 4 games. It felt like they were being overly criticized, right? Like, we try to find what's wrong with teams instead of saying, hey, like, they actually finished winning the division, the toughest division in the National Football League, and look how they have prevailed. And now all of a sudden, like, I just don't want to get caught with fool's gold. I think they are a really good football team. Are they as good as the beatdown they put on the Cardinals? I don't know if they're that good.
I think they are. I think they're a good football team.
But like, that good, Key? Like, that was a beatdown. Like, I it's okay.
It wasn't really a beatdown. What it was more of a – in control. They were in control of the entire game, and Arizona couldn't get back in it, so to speak. But you're Les Snead and them, they paid for Von Miller for the playoffs. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, they don't have any more draft capital. Everything
Ever.
they put everything into this season. And Max Kellerman always talking about, well, Matthew Stafford doesn't need to win a championship now. He can wait. No. They pay for this season.
I think
to
you're right
go to
about
the Super
that.
Bowl.
I think you're right about that because of this.
My as Mike Tomlin said, global point was that as long as Matthew Stafford wins a Super Bowl in Los Angeles, mission accomplished. But key, it seems to me, what you're saying is pay attention to the details. Because they mortgaged the future, meaning not past Stafford's career, meaning past this season in terms of draft picks, and because mm-hmm. of the age of some key players, mm-hmm. the future is now. Like that, the best chance they have to win is right now.
Cooper Kupp's not catching 145 balls again next year.
Yeah,
they're not going to let him go for 2,000 yards again. They're just not. The NFL, when they want to, they decide to, they will take you completely out of the game plan. Okay, so that's why the Rams have got to hit this year, because you don't know what the future holds. Last year, Aaron Donald got dinged up in the Green Bay Packer championship playoff game. He had to sit out the playoff game to a degree. Mm. So you just don't know. Jalen Ramsey is not going to be able to just lock down every receiver every single week.
Yep, but as Jay points out, all of a sudden Robert Woods next year, plus Odell, plus Cooper Kupp.
But we don't know where Robert Woods is going to be like.
We shall see. That's right. We shall see. There's a chance that this team is a little deeper than people realize. One team has too many cooks in the kitchen. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio Series, XM Channel 80.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are joined now by the great Jeff Van Gundy, ladies and gentlemen. Top coach and broadcaster. Coach, how you doing?
Good. How's everything?
Good. Now that you're here, represented by Progressive Insurance, we're thrilled to be joined by you, of course. Coach, what do you see when your eyes are on John Morant?
Well, he is just, you know, the athletic stuff stands out. But I think what he's really improved on is his shot making. You know, his three-point shooting is getting better. His finishing game is very, very good. And I think he has the leadership intangibles to be the best player on a really, really good team. And you don't find those guys very often that have both the leadership abilities and the athletic skills necessary to be that type of player. And so, you know, Memphis, they're not overly talented outside of him, but they have a bunch of really good players, and it shows you the value of depth, particularly in the regular season where so many guys are in and out due to injury, COVID, the whole thing.
Jeff, I know we're not at the halfway point to the season yet, All-Star break, but as of right now, if you had to evaluate Ja Morant, would he be in the MVP conversation? And if he were, where would you have him?
Yeah, I think, you know, the MVP conversations of, you know, you have the quarter poll, like people will do MVP and halfway poll. And I think the really hard part with the MVP discussion is actually coming up with a definition of what you think most valuable is, right? Because when he was hurt, they actually played better winning basketball than they do now. So does that help or, you know, does that hurt his chances? All I know is when I look on the floor, I see a team that overachieves. I think they're brilliantly coached. I think Morant and Desmond Bane together have had phenomenal years. They've totally turned around their defense, which is you just don't see. For a while, they were last in the NBA in defense, and now they're just a terrific defensive team. So he'd be, you know, certainly in the top 10 that you talk about, but there's so many worthy candidates, you know, and, you know, that's why I don't really, I never have voted for the MVP, nor do I care to.
Coach, speaking of MVPs, a guy like Kevin Durant was certainly making his case to be mentioned amongst the MVP candidates. Now that he's down and injured, what do you make of that injury and how will it affect the team short term and long term going forward?
Well, you have to think it's going to – first of all, you can make the case he's the best player in basketball and one of the best that's ever played. I mean, I just – I marvel at his scoring ability, obviously. But I think where he's shown such great growth over his time in the NBA is his handle and his passing. And he truly is an underrated defender. That wingspan and his intelligence at that end of the floor, I think – because of the great scoring ability is often overlooked. So it's obviously going to hurt them, hurt their chances, you know, for home court advantage. But Harden has it within him to carry the team, much like Durant did last year. You know, we've seen Harden be put in this spot, these spots where he's been asked to carry a really heavy burden, and he's up to the task. And so I think they're going to be able to stay afloat. And really what gives me hope for Brooklyn, I love the way Sharp and Edwards, their two rookies, since being inserted into the starting lineup, have performed. I think they play really hard. They've got athleticism and size, and I think it's really given them a boost. And I think a lot of their development will go a long ways towards giving Harden and Kyrie Irving, when he plays on the road, enough support for them to stay afloat during Durant's absence.
Jeff Van Gundy, our ESPN NBA analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jeff, it seems like there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen for the Los Angeles Lakers. You have talks of Kurt Rambis sitting in on coaching meetings, and I know he's been around the organization for a while. You know, a lot of heat on Frank Vogel. Issues with them cap-wise as it relates to what other players can they bring into the fold. What do you see as being the main problem with the Lakers and their performance as of late?
They're not good. They're not good enough. I don't understand why sometimes we can't just admit when a team isn't good enough. Like, they're not. They're not healthy enough. They're not good enough. You know, you take Anthony Davis out. Everybody knew when they made the Westbrook trade that they were depleting their level of depth. So that gets depleted. Westbrook's played up and down. And then you have James's injury and you have now Davis's injury. And you act surprised that you're not as good as you would hope to be. It defies logic to me. And this idea that Frank Vogel or changing coaches is where you're going to find improvement is just it's just so laughable. You know, it's just like sometimes you can just look in the mirror as an organization and say, hey, we tried our best. What we did has yet to work out. We're going to stay the course and we're going to see where it takes us. But you have to have, you know, the word and cliche now in sport is accountability. But what I've seen for the most part in sport is when there's blame to be accepted, people run from that. And when there's credit to be accepted, people run towards that. And it's the opposite of accountability. Frank Vogel doesn't need Kurt Rambis or anybody else in coaches' meetings. Mm-hmm. They have a very, very good coaching staff, and Frank Vogel is a championship-level coach. What they need is better health and better players. And coach, those two things will give them the best chance to win.
Coach, talking to Jeff Van Gundy here, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. I was saying before the season when they made this deal, Westbrook, it's now four consecutive seasons. Because obviously what you're saying about they're not good enough, they're not healthy enough, clearly that is the case. But four consecutive seasons, he's been on a new team with new teammates. And what I noticed going into this year, like fool me once, shame on you, fool me four times, shame on me, is first halves, it's always like, boy, Westbrook, he's lost something. He's not shooting it well enough, he's not good, he's not a good fit, da-da-da. And in the second half, he's kind of figured his teammates out and his role out, and he plays very, very well in the second half. Is there reason to believe that this year will be any different?
Well, listen, I think they're all like, you know, Washington to me is a different thing because they weren't really playing for much, right? So let's take them out. The Houston situation, their style was so different. It was so isolation heavy with Harden that they then traded their centers, much like what LA is doing with Westbrook now. They didn't trade their centers, but they've, you know, Howard starts now. But, you know, if they got Davis back, they would eliminate basically their centers to open up the lane for him. So you have to adapt and adjust to his skills because the way they've constructed the roster, they need to highlight his strengths and try to cover for his non-strengths, and giving him more room in the paint does just that. Now, he didn't really particularly like how he was used in Houston, off the ball as a screener, you know, like he didn't really like that. And so I think it's probably been hard, you know, Oklahoma City, he sort of had his run. He had the ball in his hands all the time. Then he goes to Houston with Harden. He has to share it more than he shared it since when Durant was and Harden were in Oklahoma City, to Washington with Beal, and now to James and Davis in L.A. I think these changes, while that's what everybody from Westbrook to the Laker organization wanted, mm-hmm. I think sometimes we can overlook just the challenges of constructing a roster to highlight Westbrook's strengths.
That is the great Jeff Van Gundy, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a million for jumping on with us, Coach.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, Coach.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Uh-huh. So one NFL coach, guys, is trying to fix global issues. They're global issues that he's going to fix. Well, that's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80, or you may be listening on your smart speakers, and you can always download the podcast. You get the idea. Sit right there and vegetate till we get back.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.